TPN, what is up? This goes out to our military pilots. The time of paper pubs, hand-drawn maps, and the question mark refueling concept, tanker bubbas, you know what I'm talking about, are long gone. It is time to upgrade your mission to more efficient flight ops with 4Flight Military Flight Bag. See multiple approved forecasts at different altitudes or at different times during any sortie. Pack both of those layers with 557th weather wing icing and turbulence data for in-flight reference. Generate a DD-1801 PDF with your flight plan details, digitally sign it, and email to base ops right from your mobile device, and finish the day off by debriefing with new perspectives utilizing an enhanced three-dimensional review. Learn more at 4flight.com/MFB. Not a military pilot, but want to play with the same cool kind of stuff? Head over to 4flight.com and enjoy. Now, onto the show. TPN, what's up again? It is I, Adam Juhan, bringing to you another awesome guest, and also at a time when it is most needed to hear some, if you want to call it a point of view, you could, but I think it's more of a, all right, let's take some stock. We spoke with him not too long ago about how our resumes and apps could look a little bit better. Captain Set is with us again, a great friend of TPN, a great friend of the show, and somebody that I look to for insight, and he's got some really good insight on this current situation. Charlie, all things considered, how are you doing?
Doing good. I am on day 12 of coming back from Brazil and in self-quarantine, if you will, and hanging out, man. I took April off, so I took the stay at home with a partial pay month, and nothing on my schedule until May.
Okay, and I think that's safe thing. In fact, I wanted to just jump on that really fast before we get too much into our discussion. One of the things, I had this conversation with a few pilots, and a lot of guys were debating on taking half pay for some airlines, or, you know, partial pay, or if they even can take no pay and take the time off. With the situation at hand, my wife, we're expecting, and if I had that opportunity, I would definitely do so. Unfortunately, I'm the sole breadwinner, so that's not something that we can do right now. But with that said, I think for those of you out there who are questioning all of that, nobody's ever going to look sideways at you. If you have a high-risk situation, do what is best for your family. Do what's best for yourself. Because the other thing, and I noticed this, and Charlie, maybe we can probably both speak to this at some point. If anybody's got a question for us, hit us up. I just came back from a trip, and the stress level I felt of coming back and exposing my family to something was higher than I felt in my career. I was extremely concerned for my wife, less for my daughter. I love her to death, but she's not a high-risk person. And that freaked me out, made me really uncomfortable, and that stress level put me in a bad place to operate an airplane going forward. I was fine until I got home, and then I realized, you know, I don't know how well I'm going to handle this going forward. So it's something that you got to make that decision for yourself and really think about it leading up to that. And that is something that I will be doing on my next trip. I will definitely be thinking about it and putting myself in the right mindset before I step to fly, because if you're not in that good mindset, definitely don't go operate any airplanes. Totally. I just wanted to just throw that out there to everybody, because Charlie and I have been through this just recently. So getting to the crux of our discussion, Charlie, let's talk about, they're not comparable, right? Maybe they were in the beginning, but 9/11, 2008, those events in aviation, although we may have considered them comparable in the beginning, I think it's turning to a different, there is no comparison to what we're facing right now, but they're the only events that we have to put into perspective what's going on. So if you could just give a brief history on where you were at 9/11, 2008, to give some perspective to everybody for what we're going to jump into a little bit later.
Well, yeah, 9/11 was interesting. At that point, I was in the training department at my airline, and I was teaching initial new hire ground school. And I had to go to work that morning, and we already knew what had happened in New York by the time I went into work. And let me tell you, teaching basic Indoc was incredibly difficult because you want to not hold class because you want to be riveted in front of the TV and see what's going on. But you also knew, everybody in the training center knew that things were going to change dramatically. And of course they did. And a lot of things were different on 9/11 than they were in the industry today. And, you know, you read and you hear things talking about, you know, the airlines were not as strong financially on September 11th of 01 as they are currently or
very
were.
True.
Right. So there were already things that were being considered and in play in terms of organizational survival. And that was a catalyst to do a lot of them. So I saw myself very quickly going to be from a not bad seniority captain. I held on to the left seat barely. I was the youngest captain at my airline after 9/11. And we managed, right? But we just took it day by day. But things went back to normal, quote unquote normal, fairly quickly. The airspace system wasn't shut down for that long, right? Not like we're seeing now. Now, the loads weren't there, and it was a completely different fear. And it's still a fear of the unknown, but at least that fear you could see, that versus this one you can't. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So, and we're going to have to deal with that. But, you know, if your house is anything like mine, man, when the bars come off the windows, I'm punching out and going someplace. Right. Because I can't wait to get out of this house. And I think most people are like that. And I think if they've got the ability to travel, and I told my wife the other day, I says, when we get into the recovery part of this, man, there's going to be all kinds of fabulous travel deals out there because everybody's going to be incentivizing everyone to come out. Yeah. Right. And we're standby, ready to take advantage of that. But it was a scary time. Definitely a scary time.
You mentioned it right there. And I think, that gives the 9/11 piece definitely gives some perspective. I think 2008, I just wanted to get, so you were a captain at your airline in 2008. And I think the biggest thing for people out there who maybe don't know too much about what was happening, aside from everybody knew about the economy, but how it looked like from an outsider's perspective at my time, it looked like, hey, we're about to, the airlines are about to start hiring again. And then all of a sudden it was, oh, wait a second, that's a head fake. And boom, there's nothing. And
you're talking SARS and economy issues.
SARS, economy, because that was the real whirlwind once the housing market crashed. I remember being on the outside looking in and watching my friends who'd just gotten hired at Continental at the time. And all I wanted to do was get on with an airline. They had already gotten there. And the next thing I know is every one of them is looking for a job because they're furloughed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was it look like? What did it look like from the other way looking outside, knowing that, oh boy, man, we just recovered from this last monstrosity. Here we go again. How did that play into kind of what you're going to talk about here in a minute?
Well, so 08 to me personally didn't have the impact that 9/11 had in 01.
Okay.
Right. So, and my perspective is really not very good on that situation in 08. Mm-hmm. I had seniority to be insulated from that. I was not doing basic indoc, so I didn't have the training experience and exposure with that. I picked up the pieces from that, though, in 2011, mm-hmm. when I got handed pilot hiring at my company. We were finally bringing guys back from furlough. So there's a merger going on. All the guys from Airline A had come back. All the guys from Airline B were furloughed and returning. And I picked up that process of managing the furlough returns in late 2011.
Okay.
So I didn't experience and have the exposure to it in 08, but I was there responsible for putting all the pieces back together again in 2011.
Okay. So,
and there were 1600 guys that were furloughed,
wow.
right? That we're bringing back over 1600.
And to me, that's a wild perspective shift to have. So you get new hires who are freaking out like,
oh yeah,
this is the end, to these dudes just came back now that, you know, and they're already experienced, some of them. So now they're more, a little more grizzled, grumpy. They come back or they don't come back. They think they're going to be back. And then you're kind of helping them put back pieces of not only the airline, but their lives professionally. And some guys, and personal experience, some guys never recovered from any of that stuff and said, see you later. Not a lot, but there are a few out there. So I think that you mentioned this in the first piece about 9/11, and I loved it because we talked about this in the pre-show and how you discuss with your wife, people are going to be jonesing to get out of the house. We were just talking also in the pre-show how I did jujitsu drills by myself because I was needed something to do. That is reminiscent of my former self, the guy who went out and did all this kind of stuff, because I, just like Charlie, I'm in self-quarantine and my family is not at my house. They're gone while I get over this period just to make sure everything's okay. So you said the word recovery, and you got that word from a 4 distinct phase setup. Can you tell me about that and how that has changed your entire point of view of this challenging event that we're all facing right now?
Yeah, great tee up. So the hardest part for me personally, and especially as a counselor talking to guys and encouraging them to help them get the job of their dreams, this situation sucks for a pilot. Mm-hmm. You and I would never push off the gate if we didn't know what our destination was, how much fuel it was going to take to get there, what the weather was going to be, and what our alternate was. We have no idea. I don't know what my destination is. I have no idea how much fuel is on the airplane. I got no idea what the weather is. I can't make decisions, And I'm sure that most of us are in that same way. We're type A's. I don't like riding in the backseat of somebody else's car, right? I want to drive.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to be the guy I'm responsible for it, right? So good, bad, or indifferent, I'm driving. And I'm not driving right now. I'm a passenger. So I read an article by a guy that I have worked with in the past that I have a lot of respect for. And he compartmentalized our situation into 4 categories. And for me, having the compartmentalization was huge in terms of a mental mind shift. And the categories that he had were crisis, restart, recovery, and the new normal. And I think very clearly we're in the crisis mode right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No doubt about it. And it's emotional to look at pictures on the internet of all the airplanes at your company stacked up like cordwood, the airplanes at my company and our competitors stacked up at Victorville or what you name the airport.
Yeah.
And that looks very reminiscent of what it looked like at 9/11. I remember walking outside our sim building, and you could hear a pin drop and crickets, man. And no turbine noise, no jet smell, no nothing. And it was just freaky. And that's where we are right now. We're clearly in crisis mode. Can't tell you when it's going to end. All I can tell you is that it will end at some point, right? And then you're going to move into restart. So the crazy thing with restart is it's not going to be going from 15 departures a day back to 300 departures a day, mm-hmm. right? And it's going to have to take an incredible amount of coordination. I'm just imagining the guy on the ground in a tug when he gets told it's the middle airplane in that stack of cordwood that he's got to pull because that's the airplane they're going to put back in service first, right? So from that to making sure that it's had all the requisite maintenance, I haven't flown in X number of days, weeks, months, neither have you. We've got to make sure that we're current. The restart's going to be slow. Mm-hmm. And the other part that was really interesting to me with that restart bit, no one's going to know where to go to restart. Airlines have made decisions on what destination to serve, what gauge airplane to put on the route, how many times a day to go, based on historical data. Based on actual trending data from hotel bookings, rental car bookings, cruise ship bookings, industry conferences in Vegas or other parts of the world, all these other tells, if you will, that have set up the industry to say, okay, the Olympics are going on in Tokyo. We need to get routes into Narita, right? We need to get routes into Tokyo, or not Narita, but into Tokyo and into Haneda.
Yeah.
so that we're in a prep in preparing for the Olympics. Well, nice try, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll control alt delete. So the restart's going to be slow, but that'll happen. And then we'll get into recovery. So once you're in the restart, okay, things are happening. We're dribbling out. China's lifted travel restrictions. Mexico's lifted travel restrictions. Let's see where people go, and the airline will respond accordingly, right? And you'll have the recovery, and the recovery will lead to what the new normal is. And the new normal, who knows what that is? And I'll give you a comparison to 9/11, though. Prior to 9/11, I had a bypass door for security. I just go through, go around, take all my stuff. Nobody looked in my bag. Nobody checked my ID. Had the code to the door on the airplane. Well, not anymore, right? Now we have TSA. At least you got TSA pre-check, but even that didn't happen for a while after 9/11. Dude, I fully expect somebody's going to take my temperature when I go to the airplane.
Yeah.
Right. 30-minute turns, forget about it, right? Because somebody's going to have to come and fog the airplane, and who knows how long that's going to take and how long it can be before you get the airplane returned to service after it's been decontaminated or whatever. Mm-hmm. There'll be a new normal. I don't know what that is. Nobody does, but the industry is going to have to adapt to whatever that is. No center seats, you know, who knows, right? But we recovered before, and I believe fully that we'll recover again, right?
So I want to, okay, you said something that triggered a thought for me on a bigger scale, bigger picture, I guess. So here we are, two airline pilots sitting at the bar thinking that we can change the world, or we can fix all the problems, because that's what we do as pilots. When I look at the big scale and the big scope of things, I agree there's going to be all these changes. And who knows what those changes are going to look like. The industry standard will change. It did after 9/11. It's changed many, many times. On the flip side of that, and this is where I ask somebody who's got a lot more experience than I do, on the, not necessarily in upper management, but you've been around the game a lot longer than I have. When I look at upper management, and I think about these bailouts that the airlines are taking, they're not called bailouts, it's part of the CARES Act, and what the shape of each airline is going to look like when that October 1st deadline comes around, and then the life thereafter. My question all of a sudden starts to change is, okay, there's going to be a new normal for how we travel. I get it. That's going to happen. And that's right. Cool. It might be better. Things have generally gotten better since 9/11. Maybe the security stuff hasn't, but we have known crew member. So things did eventually get a little bit better for the crew. And global entry was great for a lot of passenger types who came. So there's stuff that came of that was really good. Is this going to be better in the corporate side of the house? Will things like stock buybacks be a part, like piece of history? Will re-regulation occur? Will government get more involved, sort of like Amtrak or some of the overseas carriers? Do you have any idea? I mean, not to pontificate or take a wild guess, but if you were looking into the crystal ball a little bit and said, you know, I could see this happening. If there's one thing that you could see that's not too politically charged or anything like that, is there anything out there that you can foresee that we're going to experience as pilots that may affect our careers?
Oh, dude, I wish I had a crystal ball that was that good.
That's why I asked you. I thought yours was better than mine. No. You've seen mine, right? It's like shattered and it's got like, it's garbage.
We're walks off inside of my crystal ball, man. RBR is zero, right?
Okay, so it is as good as mine. Copy all. I see what you're saying.
But one of the things that I do think is a little bit different, now, mm-hmm. I the management teams that are in play, I think are strong, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I'll look at big three, because you and I are two of the big three, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I think our management teams are on top of this. Mm-hmm. I think that there is a genuineness to the employee contact. And I think there's a genuineness to the employee commitment. Mm-hmm. I really feel that way. And I didn't always feel that way after 9/11.
Oh, sure.
I think that, you know, it's definitely a survival mode, right? Yeah. And there will be, we'll come out of it. There will be battered and bruised, and tattered and torn, but you know, we'll make it through to the other side of that. And one of the things that I do think that's incredibly comforting, though, and I'll take my perspective for where I was in 2011. Okay, and if companies were to furlough, right, and who knows, they could come up with a therapeutic measure for this and an immunization, and things roll out and it could save the world in 30 days and makes our conversation mute, right? Mm-hmm. If the companies were to furlough, one of the things that I can say very strongly that I was committed to when my company was bringing the guys back was getting the guys back on property, right? And we made that commitment, and I made the commitment after that, and it was supported at the company level, that once we got the furlough guys back, guys that were in training and had training canceled, we called them and brought them back. Then I went out, and guys that had class dates, I called them, got them back in the mix. Mm-hmm. Guys that had interviews and the interview got canceled, they were the first people we interviewed, right?
Yeah.
So we took care of the people who we had already made some kind of commitment to. Mm-hmm. And I'd be incredibly surprised if that didn't happen again.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you've already seen it too with some of the carriers out there who've continued a class to get them on property, at least,
right.
get them their number. Knowing full well that they may not have that they'll have the number, but they may not actually be on property come a certain time period. And I can agree on a lot of fronts there, that just seeing I think this goes beyond the airline industry, the corporate outreach by many companies,
yeah,
to not only pay sick time that they normally didn't pay or keep people gainfully employed is something that is positive. I think it's also a sign of how great the economy was doing, that a lot of these businesses have a ton of cash on hand,
right,
to do this kind of thing. And that is, if there's one soft pillow to land on in all this mess, that could be one of them, that there was a lot of positive things going on in our economy, where it's going to cause a softer landing than it would have otherwise. Had this happened in 2012,
agreed,
for instance, we would be, I don't think we would be in a position like we are now, and it would be a giant mess. Even maybe in 2015 or so too, things are different. So hopefully that is one positive that we can all look at, is maybe it's not true, but right now, any little glimmer of hope is something that I think people are looking for. I know I am. I'm not one of those extremely high seniority number guys, so I may be on the fence for a possible furlough for a little while. And you know what? I've come to terms with that, and I hope that this kind of conversation is what's helping me do those kind of things. So for those of the guys and gals out there who may be facing that down, who are brand new on property, or who might be at the right at the edge, and who knows what that edge is? Nobody does.
Right.
What kind of suggestions do you have for them? Because the next few months are going to be stressful. We're not going to know until some of our contracts state 90 days prior. Other places don't have that stipulation. What do you tell those folks?
Well, it's not over, right? It wasn't over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor.
It was not.
And Blutowski went on to be a senator, man.
Yeah, he did. He did. 0.00.
So, to your point, though, one of the things that was a takeaway for me is, and this, I saw this several different times. I saw it after 9/11, and I saw it again at the time of the merger with my company. Guys had some guys, not all, but a fairly significant portion, guys they went through an identity crisis. And they struggled with that because this job was not what they did, it was who they are. And when you allow this job to be who you are, it becomes perilous,
yep,
right? And I got to admit, that's I was that for a long time, mm-hmm, right? And it took some self-reflection and some time to come to the point to realize that this job is not who I am, it's what I do, right?
Yeah.
And who I am is much bigger and much broader and has contacts and connections and influence far, far greater than my company. And I'm talking about my airline, right? Far greater than my airline. Being an airline pilot and a captain is what I do. Mm-hmm. It's not who I am.
Sure.
And I think once, if guys can embrace that, right, that you are a much greater piece and have much broader capabilities and capacity than just flying airplanes, then it helps.
Amen. And if I may be so bold to add a piece to that, and you can tell me if I'm crazy or wrong, I think it also helps a lot of the newer folks who are in just new to the industry is, and this goes to the corporate management discussion we had just a minute ago as well, but remember, as a pilot, when you're not the captain, so when you're the captain, you're the CEO of the airplane, but when you're working the line and you're not flying the airplane and you're sitting at home and you're looking at all these crazy things that are going on in the airline industry right now, remember, you're a part of the labor group. And it is okay to look to management and say, this picture is bigger than I can see, and they're going to solve it for the benefit and welfare of the company. And it's okay to feel like you don't have control of this situation. I know that I want, just like you, I want to be the dude sitting up front driving the car. And I can't. I can't for a lot of things right now. And it's okay to be sitting in the back while somebody else who's got a better understanding of how to make the car go sit up front. Because even though I have had disagreements with my management team at different companies at times, I will say that they are way better at operating a multi-billion-dollar company than I ever am and ever will be. So it is okay to be part of the labor group and support your fellow pilot, have solidarity, keep pressing forward, just do your job. Coach Herb, for those of you who don't know who Coach Herb is, Coach Herb was the coach of the 1980 U.S. Olympic team that had the miracle on ice and eventually won the gold medal. And Coach Herb said the line, do your job. And he's right on all accounts. So if we just do our job, we will find the end to this much sooner than if we sit back and stress and get worried. And your job may be to take a 50% pay cut and sit home and be healthy. Your job may be to go fly the line and fly premium extra trips that are out there because they need you to do that. Your job may be to take a leave of absence or take military leave. But that's your job, and do it right now. Do it to the best of your ability. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm sure Charlie, I know Charlie's doing the same thing. And he still does that with Checked and Set. Because when this stops and those retirements kick up again and things start to press forward and the airlines realize that if they're too small and they need to hire more people, Charlie's going to be there for you to help out with that as well. So I had to put a little plug in for Checked and Set, even though we're doing all this other discussion too.
And that's one thing. We've seen that volume drop to almost nothing, right?
Oh, I can imagine, yeah.
Some guys are still engaging with us, and that's great. And we had some guys on the books, and that's great. And we'll continue to do that. Not that this is foreshadowing, but I like the Alcoholics Anonymous prayer too, right? Mm-hmm. So, God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Yeah.
Right.
Spot on.
I mean, we're doing this because I've power washed everything I can power wash at my house. And I refuse to clean the closet. And my go bag for my weekend at the Betty Ford Recovery Clinic is already packed and ready to go. Right. So it's just, you have to have that knowledge to say, I there's things I can change and things I can't. Yep. Right. I can't control any of this.
Yeah.
I can control the sphere of things that happen in my house. When I go to work, I can control the sphere of things that happen on my airplane. And I'm smart enough to know, and I know you are too, that there's just some things that are out of my hands.
Yeah, totally.
Out of my hands.
Yeah, and I think that that is a perfect place for us to wrap up this quick podcast with Charlie Venema. Just realizing that, yeah, this sucks. It's totally crappy. But you know what? I think the hard part is we can't rally around anything. We can't get mad at the terrorists. We can't get mad at a political party. We can't get mad at this or that. We can get mad at a virus that we can't see and can't do anything about regularly, unless some of you are biochemists out there. So get your ass working and figure something out.
But I disagree on the rally part, right?
Yeah, no, we can rally. We don't have anything.
There's no target, right?
Yeah, and that's the hard part, I think.
I don't disagree with that at all, but I think we have to rally, right? And when I listened to your podcast with Aaron Hagen a couple days ago, mm-hmm. one of the cool things that Aaron said in there is he says, you know, if you're feeling down, go help somebody else out.
Amen.
And I'm like, you know, that really struck a chord with me.
Yep.
And that's where we can rally, because if you can take care of your neighbors, right? And, mm-hmm. and that community becomes strong, because again, the job is what we do. Who we are is where we make a difference at home. We make a difference in our communities, and we can still do that.
Spot on, Charlie. Thank you for taking a few minutes of your day to join us. I know that you are incredibly busy right now, as we all are.
Yes, I am.
We had a break, Charlie's Tiger King rewatching, marathon watching.
Yes, I'm on a binge watching.
That. Hey, that's okay. I watched the home theater got finished before all this happened, thank goodness. And I watched The Matrix the other night. It holds up, everybody. Cool. It holds up, everybody. It holds up for being 20 years old. It holds up. So I just wanted to say thanks again, Charlie. It's always a blast to talk to you. This is probably not the situation that I wanted to be talking to you about and in as soon as we did, but thanks for joining us. If folks do have questions for you, they want to reach out, they want to still continue to get their stuff ready, because someday this is not going to be happening and companies are going to start hiring again, or they just want to reach out, have questions, or they just like the sound of your voice and want to call you on the phone, how would they first get a hold of you to get that phone number?
Just send me an email, charlie@checkedandset.net.
charlie@checkedandset.net. And if you want to reach Matt or I, you can hit us up at heyguys@thepilotnetwork.org or adam@thepilotnetwork.org or matt@thepilotnetwork.org. You can still find us on Facebook. You can go through the Pilot Network Facebook page or in the group. Make a stink and we'll probably come find you too. We're trying to do some work in the group to clean it up. So if you notice people are starting to get booted for a little bit less, we're taking the rules a little more stringently. We want people to be adding positive and good message words to the Pilot Network instead of slinging mud and being nasty to each other, especially in this time of need. And if you do have something that you want to do to help others, post it on the group, post it out there on the community webpage. That's what that stuff's for. That community webpage is a great place to go and say things that you're doing to help out your local neighborhood, your pilot community, or whomever that you're reaching out and touching. In fact, one of the ideas I had, and Charlie reminded me of this, is I realized that the person that I get my hair cut from, she's not able to see anybody, and she does a great job. So I PayPal'd her $30 and said, hey, let's just say it's good for the month of March. So just be considerate of those out there who aren't as fortunate as some of us who've had these great paying jobs, even though we may not have them for a long time, we're going to come back to them soon enough. And we get to then again, take the flying public all over the world. So with all that said, I want to remind you to wash your hands like everybody else does, but to fly safe if you are flying, and look out for your fellow pilot. Take care, everybody.